See me? Can you hear me? Can't touch me. Okay, so this is the general session. Let's see if this works. And this is a cartoon from the New Yorker magazine this week. The line is, "Before the internet, I just assumed I was the only one and kept more or less to myself." So this is a reminder that the internet does indeed work a certain amount of magic, but it has taken and did take years to perfect that magic. And an article in this month's Health Affairs, a very provocative article by Carol Diamond and Clay Shirky about health data standards, they point out by example, positive example, that the basic standards for the internet, constituting the world's most intensively used data standards, were created and revised over decades, often enabling primitive tools first and then learning from what the users did with them. In the example of the internet, they say, there was an enormous variety of very well-designed data networking standards designed by individual vendors and international consortia, but they were largely unable to compete on a global scale with the internet's simple but evolving standards openness. The openness, the discipline to solve only core problems, and incrementalism. Openness, the discipline to solve only core problems, and incrementalism trumped standards that were well engineered on paper but hadn't been subjected to the baptism by fire, that is user adoption. And in my talk today, I'm going to be talking about some baptisms by fire that we are undergoing in the National Healthcare Safety Network. To begin with, I want to thank the Finn Conference organizers for the opportunity to participate in the conference. Grateful for my registration being covered today. Thank you. My longtime HL7 colleague, Jim Case, for moderating the session. My co-presenters, Nikolai Lipsky and Ricky Merrick, privileged to join them. And I look forward to their presentations. And of course, my co-authors, without whom the work I will present would not be possible. In addition, I want to specially acknowledge Sundek Anisin, Rob Hausen, Wen Kai Lee, and Kelly Peterson for their contributions to the vocabulary work they were doing in NHSN. So in my talk today, I'm going to provide background information about NHSN's functionality, design, and use of data transmission standards for electronic reporting, what we refer to as our e-surveillance initiative. I'm going to illustrate some of the ways we use standard vocabulary, focusing particularly on vocabulary for electronic messages and documents in the e-surveillance project. I'm going to cover NHSN collaboration with FinVADS, CDC's web-based vocabulary server for browsing, searching, and downloading Fin vocabularies. And I'm going to conclude with some observations about lessons learned and possible implications for other systems. NHSN in a nutshell. NHSN integrates three legacy systems using a technical design that enables data entry via secure web pages or file transfers, either standard electronic messages or documents, via secure internet connections. NHSN serves a variety of users and uses. Currently, over 1,700 hospitals in 47 states are enrolled. Much of the recent enrollment over the last year and a half has been the result of states now requiring hospitals to report healthcare-associated infections. And in 17 of those states with such laws, 17 out of 25, the state legislation or implementation requires use of NHSN to report HAI data. So we've had a rapid surge in growth, which also is exerting increasing pressure on us to advance our e-surveillance work. The attractive features of NHSN are that it's open to all U.S. healthcare facilities. Standard definitions, protocols, and methods are an integral part of the system. Training and user support by CDC. There are no software charges incurred by users. And CDC aggregates the data and provides estimates of rates of healthcare-associated infections that can be used by healthcare facilities for comparative purposes. So these data are used in quality of care and patient safety improvement. And to go back to the article by Carol Diamond and Shirky, they emphasize that data standards are going to work when there's a need for sharing of data, and that the best test of the value of data standards are the implications for patient quality of care, consumers, and public health. And so I think we have an opportunity, perhaps more so even than data exchanges within the clinical world, to establish use value for interoperability standards in healthcare to public health communication. So I think this work is all very, very important and sets the stage, perhaps, for some of the work that needs to be done in the clinical environment. NHSN is designed around four components that serve different purposes and user groups and that provide a technical framework for security, enhancements, and further development of discrete modules. The patient safety component here on the left has been in use since late 2005. This is the workhorse of the system. It's used by healthcare facilities for surveillance of healthcare-associated infections in patients. We anticipate deployment of the healthcare personnel safety component later this year. The hemovigilance module in the biovigilance component will go into pilot test phase soon. And our research and development component, which I'm going to focus on for the most of the rest of the talk, particularly e-surveillance, is active and ongoing. Our e-surveillance initiative is based on the idea that electronic transmission of data that have already been entered into healthcare application databases can yield benefits for surveillance with respect to timeliness, efficiency, comprehensiveness, and reliability. So we're in the midst of a change process within NHSN from the conventional, current, and time-tested manual data collection and manual data entry to increasingly electronic reporting. We also recognize significant challenges in developing e-surveillance capacity, including variability in the way that the same data are represented in different systems, which places a great deal of pressure on mapping, as Sundek always reminds me. Aggregation of data from disparate systems requires significant upfront investment in vocabulary standardization and involves efforts by organizations responsible for sending and receiving systems. I think we've yet to really work out models by which both sending and receiving systems can participate in some of the upfront work, such as vocabulary mapping from local to standard codes. I think that's going to be very, very important over time. Our overall goal, as I've indicated, is to apply prevailing electronic data transmission standards to their surveillance reporting process, along with the vocabulary standards that are an integral part of standardized data exchanges. More specifically, our goal, as illustrated in this slide, is to enable laboratory admission, discharge, transfer, and pharmacy data to be conveyed via HL7 messages and individual infection reports, denominator data, and process of care data to be sent via HL7 clinical document architecture, CDA documents, using standard terminology to the fullest extent possible. Our use of HL7 messages is illustrated here in a diagram of pharmacy microbiology results and admission discharge transfer messages sent from source systems in healthcare facilities to a receiving system at CDC with extraction, transformation, and loading into the NHSN e-surveillance database. We are undertaking a project using this data flow model in collaboration with CDC's BioSense program, adopting HL7 2.5 message specifications, including vocabulary that are used in BioSense, and working with a SAIC development team and a group of pilot project hospitals. And this is an effort that's just getting off the ground. In addition, as I've indicated, we have a clinical document architecture CDA project that is making use of standard vocabulary, illustrated here in a diagram that shows alternative pathways for reporting HAI data to NHSN. Across the top is that conventional long-standing approach in which infection control professionals manually enter data into an application, here the NHSN web-based application. Along the bottom is the CDA alternative. The CDA solution is designed for reporting by hospitals that use commercial HAI surveillance applications and that want to report to NHSN without duplicate manual data entry into the NHSN web application. As you can imagine, in the states that have enacted those mandatory reporting laws and that have opted to use NHSN technical infrastructure, the hospitals that have made investment in commercial systems want to be able to report to NHSN and not abandon the investment and the learning that goes into using their own surveillance applications. So we're working closely with the vendor community and the standards community to develop these CDA specifications. If you're interested in learning more about CDA, Marla Albitz, on our CDA, who's a CDA project manager, will present our CDA project work on Wednesday, September 10th, 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m., Building 19, Auditorium A, Clifton Campus. And Marla's presentation will also be accessible remotely. It's going to be hosted by the Division of Integrated Surveillance Systems and Services. And Marla promises that it's going to be one of the best integrated surveillance system seminars ever. So mark that date and time, September 10th, 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. No pressure. So turning now to the standard terminologies used in NHSN, examples include logical observation identifiers, names, and codes, LOINC for laboratory test types, including microbiology test results, SNOMED for microorganism names and clinical observations, Health Level 7 vocabularies for test results, coding, routes of medication administration, healthcare service locations, and we use both HL7 2.5 and version 3 vocabularies. RX Norm for medication names and our pharmacy messages, ICD-9-CM for surgical procedures, and unified codes for units of measures, UCM for units of measurement, and some non-units as well, as I'll show in a minute. So here's an example, a snippet of an HL7 2.5 laboratory results message. For those of you who aren't familiar, there are three message segments illustrated here, an OBR, order or observation request on the top, OBX, the observation result, and an SPM specimen segment. And you can see with the vocabulary names embedded in the message here, SNOMED, HL7, and LOINC, and preceding each of those is an actual term that's represented by a concept identifier in each of those vocabularies. So within the LOINC, for example, the concept 6363-6 refers to Clostridium difficile toxin test. And the HL7 refers to N for normal, applies to non-numeric results. And this SNOMED is referring to a particular specimen type, a stool specimen type, in this particular case for C. difficile.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
I thought embedded in that LOINC name was that it was a stool
specimen. I don't think so. I think that's an enzyme immunoassay result type. So it's an enzyme immunoassay result type on a stool specimen.
Sometimes it could be the specimen type.
Sure.
Specified in
sure.
It depends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it is in this particular one.
Okay.
No problem. Good question. Thank you, Stuart. Go back. Oops. Okay. So here, Stuart, you'll be happy to see our use of RX Norm, vocabulary supported by the National Library of Medicine, for medication types, along with further illustrations of route of administration in the HL7 vocabulary and UCM for tablets. Turning to the CDA project for some illustrations of our use of standard vocabulary. In this project, we're working with Altshuler Associates, a CDA consulting firm. Pavla Frazier, a vocabulary specialist with strong background and experience in standard terminology. And I might mention in passing that Pavla does absolutely extraordinary work. And if you have projects that require the work of a vocabularist, a vocabulary specialist, I would highly recommend Pavla and would be happy to share our experience working with her and contact information. We're also working closely with the HL7 Structured Documents Work Group, which is the parent work group within HL7 for CDA, as well as the commercial vendors of the surveillance systems, as I've indicated. Collaboratively, we're producing CDA implementation guidance, including vocabulary specifications for reporting HAI data to NHSN. For example, the surgical site infections data shown here in the background is an NHSN data collection form for surgical site infections. Wherever possible, we're using standard terminology and codes to represent NHSN concepts, such as here, SNOMED terms for purulent drainage or material, redness, heat, fever. They are among the clinical criteria specified in NHSN for surgical site infections. Now, not all standard vocabulary can provide the coverage that we need. And in some instances, particularly when we have complex NHSN concepts, such as these laboratory criteria for bloodstream infections, they would require source systems to combine several single concept terms from a standard vocabulary like SNOMED to express the concept using standardized terminology, a process sometimes referred to as post-coordination. Because of the substantial technical burden of a post-coordinated approach, we have opted to use a pre-coordinated approach in which NHSN terms and codes are used to represent concepts like recognized pathogen from one or more blood cultures. Our intent is, over time, to submit standard to standard vocabularies terms that we think would be more widely used. Here's another example of where we're able to express a relatively complex concept, only this time we can use standard vocabularies to do so, taking advantage of the CDA and HL7 data structures and the message and CDA syntax that enable representation of a bug-drug combination, such as vancomycin susceptibility, the coagulase negative staphylococcus susceptibility to vancomycin. Our intent, as I've indicated, is to submit terms to SDO vocabularies like SNOMED, LOINC, HL7. We have two examples here that we submitted earlier this year to SNOMED for bloodstream infection and surgical site infection. We were a little surprised that these terms were not already in those standard vocabularies, but we were very pleased that after some discussion with SNOMED, they were able to bring them into the vocabulary. Some of that discussion was with vocabulary specialists at SNOMED on the need for new terms and the reasons that bloodstream infection is not synonymous with existing SNOMED terms for sepsis or bacteremia, and that surgical site infection is not synonymous with the existing SNOMED term for postoperative wound infection. We can go into more about that if you want in the discussion. Another and more extensive example of term submissions to an SDO is an entire code system for healthcare service locations that we submitted to HL7 and that was approved at an HL7 harmonization meeting last November. The HL7 healthcare service location vocabulary is comprised of 206 hierarchically organized location concepts, four of which are illustrated here. The new vocabulary includes concepts that go beyond NHSN's current coverage. For example, the concept intensive care unit is not used in NHSN, but specific types of intensive care units, such as medical critical care, are. So we recognize in the vocabulary submissions that we do to standard development organizations, we have to reckon with the wider use of that vocabulary and the fact that concepts that belong in that vocabulary that we're not using in our system should actually be introduced when we develop and submit the vocabulary. Turning briefly to our collaboration with FinVADS, in our vocabulary work, both for NHSN's web-based application and for our e-surveillance initiatives, we're working closely with FinVADS team and depend on the vocabulary access and distribution system. We use FinVADS release 2.3 as the resource for vocabulary provisioning in the web-based application. We're grateful for Sundek and Eason, John Bertashnik, and the whole FinVADS team for their role in assuring that the NHSN vocabulary content is available through FinVADS. Our intent is to use FinVADS 3.x as the resource that implementers of NHSN message and CDA solutions will use for vocabulary access and distribution. Right now, we've parked a lot of vocabulary in our implementation guides, and we want to definitely move to a smoother operation for that vocabulary distribution. Summing up, the implications of our lessons learned about vocabulary standardization are: fix the door before you give a talk. Concerted efforts are needed to develop and implement standard vocabulary specifications for electronic reporting to public health surveillance systems. I've focused on developing implementation guidance and specifications. Additional implementation challenges include mapping local to standard codes at source systems and versioning the vocabularies that implementers are instructed to use. And we look forward to working with the FinVADS team on versioning solutions. A second lesson learned is that surveillance programs are well positioned not only to use standard vocabularies, but to contribute to them. I would say it's really a responsibility to do so. And finally, the complexities of vocabulary authoring maintenance, access, and distribution underscore the importance of supporting a shared resource like FinVADS. The functionality of FinVADS in its current and future releases can meet the needs of multiple programs and obviate the need for duplicative vocabulary services maintained and supported separately. Thanks very much for your attention.
And thank you for keeping us right on time, Dan. We do have time for questions.
Stuart?
Dan, one thing that I run into frequently is where we have a vocabulary standard, we have a messaging standard, and they don't quite work together.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, have you run into that? Did you run into that at any time?
Yes, we have. I mean, both in the messaging context and the CDA context. There are syntactical and design requirements that do pose issues with respect to how we're going to use standard vocabulary. And in some instances, it's required us to go back to the parent work groups at HL7 to address those issues. And in other instances, frankly, we're doing some workarounds that fit the vocabulary into the requirements. Yes? Yes.
But it seems to me that the bigger challenge is, number one, making sure that the electronic medical record systems that these facilities are using can incorporate those terms, and then the even bigger challenge is having the staff there actually use the terms you want. Are you going to be very directive as far as letting them insist that they use particular terms, or are you going to try to be a little more flexible and try to guess what someone might be? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Sure,
if
sure.
If you're going to try and make distinctions between wound infections and surgical site infections, how
right.
Are you whoever's putting that data in at the hospital is using the correct term?
Good questions. Let's talk. Repeat the question. So there are two questions, one of which is, what's the relationship of our work to electronic health records? And a second is, how do we overcome obstacles to using concepts that are part of a surveillance system in routine clinical use? I think they are bundled questions. Very important. Turns out that surgical site infection, for example, is a concept that does have clinical currency, that does have value beyond post-op wound infection, because a post-op wound infection does not necessarily include an organ space infection or an organ infection that can occur post-operatively. It refers more specifically to an incisional infection. So the concept is one that we think has inherent value and importance in infection control and clinical practice. And we're in a position to help move that concept into more current clinical use. And we shouldn't shy away from that. We have a responsibility. Secondly, the data standards that we're developing and using and adopting for use in both our message and CDA work are data standards that can be brought into electronic health record systems. So, for example, we're working with niche vendors on the CDA solution, but now we're beginning to get inquiries from some of the larger EHR system vendors. They look at the state mandates. They look at the interest that exists in HAI data, both its clinical and public health importance, and they want to bring over CDA specifications into their EHR systems. I think that makes the work that we're doing an intermediary step toward embedding many of these standards in clinical record systems that go electronic and enter into the mainstream of care. Very good questions.
Time for one more short question.
I would like to thank Dan also for contributing the race and ethnicity cohorts contributed by NHS.
Well, thank you. Race and ethnicity is something that I think is very important for systems to include. And several years ago, even before I was working on NHSN, we worked closely with Jim Weed at NCHS and the Bureau of the Census to bring race and ethnicity codes into use in a standardized way based on the values that census uses. And lots of challenges in vocabulary. But I, again, reiterate that I think we're well positioned both to use and contribute. So appreciate it. Appreciate the questions and comments. One more.
Well, it's also a multi-part question.
The best kind.
Yeah, some of your healthcare associated infections are also either currently or soon will be reportable to state health departments and possibly national.
Currently are.
Right, right, yeah.
That's the 17 state.
And we're talking about making forms of MRSA reportable, even though we're having a lot of argument about that.
Mm-hmm.
And when we've been broaching this to the hospitals, they're pretty unhappy with the idea of having to report, basically do dual reporting. And I was wondering if you're going to drive, build into your system in way of interoperability with the disease reporting, you know, the reportable disease.
Something we're very, very interested in. And we get. Okay, sorry, keep on forgetting to repeat the question. So HAIs, healthcare-associated infections, are relatively latecomers to this whole notion of reportable conditions. There are a set of notifiable disease conditions like tuberculosis, hepatitis, STDs, that for years and years have been part of state mandates. And it's only within the last 3 or 4 years that healthcare-associated infections have become a reporting requirement. And in fact, in hospitals, many of the individuals responsible for detecting and reporting the tuberculosis and the hepatitis cases are the infection control professionals. So we get inquiries frequently from them about can you enable NHSN to generate reports that we could send to the state or local health department. And yes, we can do that. It is simply a matter of resources and bandwidth. But there are also some, I think, positive developments that are happening where CDC and CSTE, the Council of State and Territorial Epidemiologists, are looking at CDA, clinical document architecture, as a possible file format for common reporting of notifiable disease conditions. So we can envision a way to take advantage of our use of CDA in this other context where NHSN could become a source system for morbidity reports to state and local health departments expressed in accordance with a data standard such as CDA. And that's something, again, that we can take on along with a lot of other work that we're taking on, provided we've got the bandwidth and resources to do so.
Thank you.